Shalom, saints of God, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan, along with my lovely wife and teacher of God's Word, Reverend Sheila Cropper.
Well, thank you, honey. And we've been asked, and so we will, address Jeremiah 49 in the region once called Elam. As well, it is springtime, so we'll begin our series on the Feast of Our Lord after a little update on the amazing war in Iran. But first, of course, we will praise the Lord.
We do praise you and honor you, O Lord, as our King of Kings and Lord of all Lords, soon to literally rule over all the earth, which we long for every day. We are assured by our strong faith and your many clues that we will soon be free from all evil that currently surrounds our lives. Thank you that our light misdirects the devil's arrows. We continue to ask for your blessings upon Israel and our great military, soon putting a finish to the war. We pray for those recent prayer requests and for the salvation of our loved ones. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Amen.
The leftover regime has named a successor.
Yes, the son of Ayatollah named Mujtaba, but has not been seen. Apparently, he has been injured. They say he probably lost a leg.
Meanwhile, progress is being made in Iran.
Definitely. And last night, President Trump said it is almost over. However, many believe those comments were really made to help lower the gas prices, which it did a little.
But they will go back up.
Oh, possibly, if the war is prolonged. But we have an amazing American and Israeli military. And much of that is thanks to AI.
True.
I've been reading up on all this AI stuff.
Surprise, surprise.
But did you know that until Israel was attacked on October 7th, 2023, AI technologies and warfare were just beginning to be seriously developed. And now, Israel and the United States have been deploying dozens of drones for intelligence gathering and attack missions. It's amazing that AI operations are now capable of executing tasks, and get this, do it independently.
Yeah, you know, that really is incredible.
Mm-hmm. Some drones are called AI agents that constantly scan a large area to find targets.
Yeah, it's a digital observer.
Mm-hmm. So instead of human soldiers constantly watching surveillance computer screens to visualize important areas, as for instance along the border, AI systems with its many capabilities can now detect vehicles, motorcycles, and even partially concealed individuals with high probability. An operator simply designates specific targets and the drone flies right into it. As well, if a suspicious activity is detected, the AI on its own can initiate further actions, such as sending drones to investigate or zooming in on the area. And in some cases, swarms of drones can be deployed autonomously to locate and then neutralize possible threats.
Drones also enter inside buildings to transmit videos.
Mm-hmm, they do, and then detonate explosives against terrorists. In more advanced systems, large drones carry smaller, what they call pocket drones, releasing them upon targets. You know, we are living in a time where this artificial intelligence is no longer just a tool of war.
Well, it is becoming the battlefield itself.
Like a war game the kids watch, especially with these laser beams now also being used thanks to Israel, who initially developed it.
Sure saves on money.
Oh, yeah, for only pennies versus the millions of dollars in missiles we use to shoot down a drone.
We still have to use missiles, but just not as much.
Of course, as there are some issues with lasers, like when facing fog, smoke, dust, rain, snow, etc., etc.
But have you heard they are also developing laser guns?
Yeah, guns. These are remarkable times indeed. And I must mention about how last June, around the 12-day war on Iran, so many commanders and leaders, if you remember, were easily eliminated. Well, it's because undercover Mossad agents, some also being dentists, who, when filling the teeth of any high-level leader, place GPS magnets in their teeth. So they were easily tracked wherever they went.
And Hezbollah are still shooting missiles at northern Israel.
They are. Mostly intercepted, praise the Lord. Therefore, Israel is, of course, been responding, even hitting Beirut, Lebanon's capital, because Hezbollah has now moved north across the Atani River and setting up infrastructure despite the Lebanon government trying to stop them.
At least they arrested 12 Hezbollah members last week.
They did, but Lebanon does have a pretty weak government.
And Russia has been caught offering Iran detailed intelligence.
Yes, they have, and so did China, along with supplying crucial economic weaponry to Iran.
But no longer.
True. But I bring this up because Trump is supposed to visit China on March 31st. Coincidentally, this is also the beginning of Passover on the Essene calendar and the next day on the Hebrew calendar.
So they can break bread together on Passover.
And share a meal, too. God sure has a sense of humor.
Indeed he does.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we welcome all your comments and end-time questions either by email to Sheila at showfarmministry.net or call the office. Leave a detailed message to 440-834-9006 or regular mail, Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Any love offering is always appreciated. We'll place you on our newsletter mailings. You can also bless us on ShofarMinistries.net, where our past radio and newsletters are archived for your continued learning pleasure.
Mm-hmm. Okay, before we begin the spring feast, in Jeremiah 49, verses 34 through 39, there is a prophecy about the area called Elam during the reign of Zedekiah. So obviously it would be totally fulfilled after the reign of Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. But let's read verses 34 and 35.
The word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah, the prophet, against Elam. In the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will break the bow of Elam, the foremost of their might.
Here the bow is number 7198. Kesheth actually means power and might, as in it takes much strength to pull the bow. Verse 36.
Against Elam I will bring the four winds from the four quarters of heaven, and scatter them toward all those winds. There shall be no nations where the outcasts of Elam will not go.
So we see here a vast dispersion, which is why today the Elamites no longer exist as a distinct people. And actually, their first kingdom was broken by the Assyrians in 640 B.C., if you remember, God was not pleased with the Assyrian king who took Lot into exile. However, they did survive as a people for a while, but barely, till they were absorbed to the four quarters of heaven after the Greeks defeated the entire Persian Empire. As we read in the next verse, 37.
For I will cause Elam be dismayed before their enemies, and be for those who seek their life, I will bring disaster upon them. My fierce anger, says the Lord, and I will send the sword after them until I have consumed them.
Okay, for the word consumed, it's number 3615, and it means to fall as a kingdom. Again, Zedekiah reiterates what would be accomplished in verse 38.
I will set my throne in Elam.
That means God's power in that province. And Daniel actually had a vision of that area in Daniel chapter 8, being taken over by Greece.
And will destroy from there the king and the princes, says the Lord.
And so that was done by the Greeks. But then Jeremiah adds, what will be in the latter days? Verse 39.
But it shall come to pass in the latter days, I will bring back the captives of Elam, says the Lord.
But not as a kingdom. And here is where some Hebrew roots knowledge becomes important. Many teachers think this term means today, when actually this term, in the latter days, really means any time after Christ. Jesus came at the end of the fourth day, or 4,000 years. So days 5, 6, or 7 means as well the latter days, since Christ, when looking at it in a week of time, or 7,000 years, would include the millennial kingdom. The expression in Hebrew is acharit yamin. This idiom means days 5, 6, or day 7. And by the way, in case you might like to know, the Hebrew words yamot mashiach means specifically days 5 and 6, the days of Messiah, or another term for the church age. And for the day of the Lord, which includes the tribulation, is called in Hebrew Atid Lavo. And since we're on a roll here, the Hebrew expression for the millennial kingdom, or the messianic kingdom, is Bayamin, meaning in those days and at that time. And that's used in Joel chapter 3, verse 1.
And what about eternity?
Olam Haba. And the term for the whole age from pre-creation to eternity is Olam Hazeh.
What about the beginning, as in the days from Adam to Abraham?
Yes, days 1 and 2 is called Tohu, and then came the Torah days, so days 3 and 4 were just called Torah.
You should probably go over this all in our next newsletter.
I agree. Notes are hard to take on this one. So, back to that last verse in Jeremiah, we see that God promised mercy to the people of Elam in the latter days. Again, that means any time from Jesus on. And that fulfillment had to be the gospel and the new covenant, of course, given to those leftover remnant, which included the Elamites, which they did embrace, because even after being scattered all around, showed up in Acts chapter 2 as part of Peter's audience. So with all that said, I do not feel that today's Iran fits Jeremiah 49 prophecy. And besides that, we know Iran will later become strong again and join Russia in Ezekiel 38.
So, obviously, Iran cannot be totally destroyed.
Right. And as we have said, they will have, if needed, the first 3 years of the tribulation, because we, the restrainer, are gone. So they will reinvent themselves as evil aggressors, with Russia and others listed in Ezekiel 38, like Turkey, who, by the way, did not expect to get hit on by Iran. So they were a little angry, but did give Erdogan a good excuse to say Turkey was not in cahoots with Iran.
Yeah, which they were.
Iran said it was a mistake, and it probably was.
Okay, moving on.
Yes, for the next couple of weeks, we will be reviewing once again, which will never get old, the Spring Feast, since Passover on the Hebrew calendar begins Wednesday, April 1st at sundown, with the following Sunday being the celebration of our Lord's resurrection.
Some incorrectly call Easter.
And if you are a new student of Hebraic roots, you need to understand how Jesus fulfilled to the jot and tittle these extremely vital appointments. And we also know that it does one good to yearly review such an important topic.
In order to refresh our memory, so to share correctly.
And that is the bottom line. Share, share, and share again. What did Jesus say to Mary at the tomb?
Go and tell.
Yes, and we too must tell everyone about his resurrection and how he fulfilled it, all of it, which is where Hebraic Roots comes in.
Amen.
All right, therefore, it's time for Leviticus 23.
Probably the least read book in the Bible.
Mm-hmm. So let's just get right into it. Leviticus 23, verses 1 and 2.
And the Lord spoke to Moses, speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, the feast of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my feasts.
Whose feasts?
God's feasts.
He doesn't say the Jewish feasts. He says my feasts. And there are seven of them.
Plus the Sabbath day.
Yes, also an appointment that Jesus kept, for he is the Sabbath, and he lives in us,
giving us perfect spiritual rest.
Amen. So let me emphatically point out that the Hebrew word for feast is moed, number 4150, which literally does mean appointment. Another perfect example of why we look up words in our concordance. Think about that. Feast means appointments. And then we see the term holy convocations, number 4744, mikra, which means gatherings or rehearsal. So now let's read it again with more clarity.
Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the appointments of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy rehearsal gatherings, these are my appointments.
Wow. You know, when I first understood what this was really saying over 30 years ago, it blew me away.
Yeah, me too.
Saints, if this is your first time hearing about this, that verse alone should make you sit up and take notice. God himself, through Moses, gave written promises to us in his Torah, specific appointments that he, through Jesus, would keep with all his people.
We are his people, too.
Yes, Romans 11. So you simply must tell others that these appointments are not just a Jewish thing. In fact, unless one is a Messianic saved Jew, they don't even get it.
Yet.
Right. We know, and again confirmed in Romans 11, that all his true believers have been grafted into the Jewish olive tree, and it's the root that supports all believers today. So, Jesus came to die for the whole world. All anyone needs to do is believe and accept his free gift. And what makes my blood boil?
When someone says, oh, the feast, they're just for the Jews.
Yeah. They say that because they haven't correctly studied his words. Now, obviously, Jesus has already kept his four appointments, his first four appointments, which is the fulfilled gospel, the good news of our salvation.
And also Pentecost by sending us the Holy Spirit.
So all believers have been made beneficiaries of these kept appointments, and we will soon again benefit immensely with the fulfillment of his last three appointments surrounding his second coming very soon, that we talk about every fall season.
Rosh Hashanah.
Feast of Trumpets.
Yom Kippur.
Day of Atonement.
And Tabernacles.
Feast of Sukkot. I must say, after teaching on the feast for decades now, finally more Christians are beginning to wake up to the importance of these appointments, taking them more seriously. But unfortunately, still some churches think of them as just being a Jewish thing.
Ignorant of the fact that we are spiritual Jews.
Right. Remember Ruth, a type of the bride who said to her Jewish mother-in-law, you are now my people. And she would not go back to the way it was before. That should be us.
And grateful is not the old covenant.
Right. So never get legalistic. We have to do nothing but love him and get close to him through his word. Then at some point, he directs you and gives you certain gifts to guide your path for his purpose for you. We must look at the Bible as a truly Judeo-Christian book and read it through redeemed Jewish eyes. And once you truly understand this, you'll never go back to looking at Scripture in the Western Gentile mode ever again. And it might take some time. However, that amount of time depends on you. It's called maturing, or being of full age.
As Hebrew 5 commands us to grow.
So the Lord's spring feasts are the first three appointments that surrounded his first coming as a humble servant to pay the debt for all our sins.
Should you choose to accept it.
Right, always one's choice.
Before we continue, let's also take a look at Palm Sunday.
Yes, Nisan 10 on the Hebrew calendar occurs 4 days before Passover, which is only a 1 24-hour period on Nisan 14 from sundown to sundown. So, 4 days before Passover in Exodus 12, beginning in verse 1, is where God tells Moses to speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying this.
On the 10th of this month,
that's Nisan,
every man shall take for himself an unblemished lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb for each household.
And verse 6.
Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it twixt the evening.
That is halfway between high noon and sundown.
Which would be 3 p.m.
Yes. So on the Sunday before Passover, a young lamb was chosen and then carefully examined for 4 days to be sure it was blemish-free, checking every inch of skin and hair follicle. Had to be perfect in every way. The size of the lamb should be fitting for the family, so nothing is left over, which is yet another picture
that Jesus gave all of himself for us.
He did. Jesus was a sinless, young, unblemished Lamb of God who was also examined, extensively questioned for 4 days at the temple. Remember, Nisan 10 was a Sunday when Jesus rode in on the donkey into Jerusalem, as prophesied he would do in Zechariah 9:9, exactly 4 days before his death on Thursday, still Nisan 14 until sundown, when he was put in the tomb. So on Nisan 10, which is Palm Sunday, he was examined by the Jews and the Romans for 4 days, like an animal lamb would have been, and that was in the temple. And as also you can read about it in John 18. And we see that Pilate concluded by saying,
I find no blemish in him.
These are the exact words that are spoken every year after examining the animal lamb for 4 days. Think about that. Till next time. But now let me ask you, what do you do in your spare time? Are you redeeming it wisely? Are you longing passionately to see him? Do you even know the Lord at all? Time to get it right. He's your Savior. Read his love story written for you. I want to leave you with the ironic blessing. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu, Shalom, Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her shall prosper. Shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.